In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xenial. But what is a Xenial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xenial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And we're here on hopefully our final podcast of our coronavirus shut in, whatever it is.
Corona Chronicles?
Yes, Mike is actually having computer problems at this point, and we're just barely able to get this going so we can get this last one recorded. And then he's got to figure out all the computer problems so we can get it put out there for you. Luckily,
dude,
he only has to get one put out by this week, and he's got more time for the other ones.
Yeah, hopefully.
So that's
like
a bonus.
To be completely honest, my hard drive is stuck in an infinite boot cycle. I will.
Why are there boots
this
in your hard drive?
I don't know.
Does your hard drive need shoes? Does it have feet?
Yes,
it has feet.
It has feet.
Did you try flip flops?
They're
quite comfortable.
They're
how about house shoes? Like the fuzzy ones on the inside. Moccasins, if you're a Native American.
Moccasins.
Did you try those? Because those might be comfy. Maybe they need arch supports. Boots really don't give you much arch support. I think you're abusing your hard drive's feet. And that's wrong of you, Mike.
I'm so sorry.
That's wrong
Maybe
of you.
Maybe that's why it's freaked out at me.
I'm noticing something.
What?
You're right. When this whole coronavirus thing is over, when we're able to get back to our normal schedule of doing things,
yeah,
nighttime is the better time.
It is.
I can already feel myself a little bit more mentally limber.
Don't you feel slightly more aware? Yeah, we started this at noon, 1 o'clock,
something like that.
Or-ish.
I'm a little more limber mentally. My mind is doing its fascinating gymnastics.
I'm on high alert. I'm hoping my shit doesn't freak out on me here too. If it
does,
I'm going to lose my mind.
He's talking about his computer, not his actual fecal matter.
No.
We're just being clear.
That'd be strange.
Yes. So basically right now at this point, your computer's kind of fucked.
At least the desktop is,
proper,
which sucks because I have a lot of data on the... I have a decent amount of data on the main drive, but I really should be okay still.
Yeah. It's just being able to get it back working so that you can actually manipulate the files to do the things you want to do with the files.
Right, exactly. Now, I do have most of my actual file data for like the session files is on a completely different hard drive, so that's a lot safer.
Yeah.
That's not the problem. It has to do with my boot drive. So my boot drive can change, but that just means I've been avoiding doing this. I might as well do it now.
Especially since
I've got time.
Since you're home.
Right.
You're not going to work.
So I should be good.
You know, this is the time I feel bad for, like, home invasion thieves at this moment in time. Because it's like, damn it, more people home.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Everybody's
home. What the
hell? Yeah.
I can't put food on my kid's table because I can't steal from nobody. Damn it.
I can't steal from this other guy's table.
Damn it. Anyway, for this podcast, we're talking about...
We have gotten delirious.
We are talking about one of my favorite subjects. Not really. But yes. But yeah, it is. It's a subject I really
like.
It is?
Is it?
It's a subject I like.
Oh, okay.
It's a subject that that many people feel uncomfortable about. And when I originally approached Mike about talking about this subject, he was a little bit uncomfortable about it.
I feel like I might be a little uncomfortable now, but we'll see where things go.
Until I explain to him why this is relevant. I keep saying that word wrong. I'm mixing up consonants. Relevant to the Xenial experience.
Yes. I would say so.
It is. It is. It's important for the experience of, I believe, all males in American society, but specifically the changes in this over our Xenial lifetime.
Everybody goes through this process. Like they pretty much all go through it in some degree.
In some degree or another, yes. What we're talking about is pornography.
Yep.
Dun dun dun.
Yep. Bow, yep.
Wow. Or hey, chicka bum bum. If you get that reference, points to you. You're nerdy, and I like it.
Okay, yeah, I don't know that one.
You don't know the hey, chicka bum bum reference?
No. You don't have to explain it. Don't explain it.
Anybody that knows the hey, chicka bum bum reference, put it in the comments. Because, again, you're nerdy. I like it. So, we're talking about pornography, and specifically the changes in pornography that happened as a result of our technological changes. We've talked before about the technology changes that we've gone through with phones, with TV, with internet access.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to give a little brief discussion about the fact that pornography is definitely not a new thing.
No, definitely not a new thing. It's been around for a very, 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 very long time.
They have been able to unearth tablets from 2000 BC in Mesopotamia. 2000 BC in Mesopotamia. Mesopotamia, wow. by the way, is the area between the Tigris and Euphrates River
wow.
in the Middle East. Technically where modern-day Iraq is.
Yeah.
That's kind of the birthplace of civilization.
Mm-hmm.
2000 years ago, or 2000 BC, so like 4,000 years ago. 4,000 years ago.
Dang.
Got this? They have found tablets with a woman on her knees, a man behind her, having sex with her from behind.
Right.
What people would call doggy style. Those are the words I wanted to say. While, no, he's doing this to her while he is drinking a beer. Points, bro.
Wow.
Points.
Wow.
On this tablet. Dude tapping
Frat
that
house
ass.
Smut, 4,000 years old. Huh?
Yes, 4,000 years
wow.
old.
Wow. I'm impressed.
Many of these would be found around centers that were part of the cult of Inanna.
I don't know what that is.
Inanna was a Sumerian goddess. She was a Sumerian goddess of sex and prostitution. Because back in ancient Sumer, Sumer is kind of the first recorded civilization that we have
oh.
in the Western world.
Oh.
They were the first, and the reason they're the first kind of recorded civilization, they were the first civilization to put things down in writing.
Oh, cool.
To have a form of writing that they actually wrote specific things, and they wrote on clay tablets.
Cool. Okay.
So we have some of their writings, though, the earliest writings that we have. The Epic of Gilgamesh is related to, which is a Babylonian epic, is actually related to the Sumerian belief systems.
This just feels weird, like, to hear something about that, and they're like, we have this old, ancient, like,
yes.
artifact from history, and it just looks like some college doodle that some kid did.
It's people having sex. Well, even yeah. even previous to this, even if you talk previous to the 2000 BC thing, there were you often find Venus statues, what they call Venus
yeah.
statues,
mm-hmm.
which are statues that are depicting of a kind of rotund, possibly pregnant woman,
yeah,
symbolizing the kind of divine nature of women being pregnant and giving life.
Right.
But back in the Sumerian days, sex and prostitution were actually good business, and for the cult of Inanna, this goddess, everybody that was an adherent to her temple. Were prostitutes in some way or another. They were important people in the city. They were business leaders. In fact, funny enough, the old West here in America,
yeah,
the old West was almost entirely started by houses of prostitution in the various towns.
Really?
And those houses of prostitution would take care of schooling. They would take care of any kind of rudimentary health care that would happen. Anything that was done to build the town up.
Wow.
The madams who ran the houses of prostitution basically had almost as much power as the mayors or sheriffs of the various towns.
Whoa.
I mean, again, we had our Kurt Russell episode where we talked about Tombstone. The Earp family were pimps. They were in the prostitution business.
Yeah.
Because it was big business back then.
Yeah.
It was important business. And of course, once pictures started being able to be taken, actual photographs.
Yeah.
Once film was able to be, you know, created, once the process of filming was created.
Yeah.
Within weeks of each one of those being created, pornography moved into those categories.
Oh, yeah. As soon as the technology was developed, they were like, yeah. hey, you know what we can do with this?
Previous
like,
to that, I mean, there are many, many paintings from the great masters in the Renaissance of naked women. There's mm-hmm. naked statues of women.
Well, nudity and art and porn are completely different things.
Not necessarily. They can be different things, and yet they can also be the same things. There is some porn that is art, but not all porn is art.
Right.
So they can be the same, but not always are they the same.
Interesting. Okay, I can understand that.
But pornography started fairly early within the start again of filmmaking and of pictures,
mm-hmm.
And for the most part, it was an underground thing for the first maybe couple of decades, even 100 or so years in photography.
Yeah,
there were some films that were titillating, but most of the films only went so far,
right,
in what they were doing. Same with the pictures, titillating, but only so far to a certain point.
Okay.
And it was very much underground, very much not talked about, very
yeah,
much.
Yeah, totally.
You had to be in the right situation to get these things.
Right.
But we see that there's a specific point where pornography becomes mainstream.
Yes.
And a couple of things happen all at the same time in the 60s. You have a couple of magazines.
Oh, so that's when it happened. You have a couple of magazines. Became a more mainstream kind of a setup. Okay.
You have a couple of magazines that start around that time period with Playboy and Hustler.
Right.
Then you also have a movie that comes out in 1969. In 1969, some interesting things happen in Denmark. I believe we discussed before about when we were talking about the guys who made the He-Man movie, the original Masters of the Universe He-Man movie.
Yes.
We were talking about they were involved in Danish porn originally. Remember?
Yes. Okay. That's right. That's right.
Well, that's because in 1969, Denmark decriminalized porn. They made it so that making porn movies and distributing porn...
Wait, it was a criminal act at that point?
It is in a lot of places.
Oh.
So they... and more importantly, it's not necessarily a criminal act to make them, but to distribute them.
Right.
It can be.
Right.
Denmark decriminalized porn.
Yeah, what you do in
porn.
The privacy of your own home is one thing, but you start passing that around to people, and that's kind of an issue.
Exactly. At this point, there's a big boom in the porn industry in Denmark. Of course, it rises out of nothing.
Right.
As things tend to.
Well, that would make sense because finally, it's legal. Boom.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's make some money off this.
Yeah.
But also in 1969, there is a movie that is made and released in the United States that is the first adult erotic film that actually displays or depicts explicit sex.
Really?
And it received a wide release originally in the U.S.
Huh.
But helped to start some of the MPAA regulations that come into play.
This thing comes out in the theater and the MPAA or the MPAA and the government and like all this stuff is like, whoa, we got to put a cap on this.
Well, and at
for
first,
like the right people.
This is one of those movies that because of who made this movie, it rides the line of is it porn or is it art? The movie is called The Blue Movie and it's by Andy Warhol.
Andy
Warhol made the movie.
Andy Warhol?
Yeah, which is why, again, it was part of the reason
got him to do album covers and shit.
Well, and that's part of the reason it got the wide distribution that it got. Mm-hmm. It's because this is an artist doing an art film, right? It can't be you know, something. It's art.
It's
but
art.
At the same
it can't
time,
be explicit.
It is explicit. But this starts what's called the Golden Age of Porn.
Wow.
Where porn starts to explode in the United States with the magazines, with the films that start happening.
What year was this?
69 when this starts.
Yeah, it's like wow.
And you start seeing theaters that start showing porn-only movies, and you have to be old enough to get into these theaters.
Right.
And there are many celebrities that have found themselves in those theaters and in awkward situations. Paul Rubens, sorry, dude. but this also inspires a lot of sex in mainstream movies. Specifically, this helps to inspire Caligula. And this
that
helps
was like
to,
one of the first wide release like X-rated movies, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, and it was fully X-rated.
Yeah.
I will say this much. The only kind of bonus to watching it nowadays is you do get to see a bunch of nude scenes of Helen Mirren when she was younger. Damn, she was hot then.
Huh.
She's still kind of hot now. I mean, if Helen Mirren says let's go for it, I might consider that. I'm just saying. She's still hot. Also, Last Tango in Paris, which is infamous for its scene of anal sex using butter as a lubricant.
I did not see that movie and did not know that was there.
That's the only part of it I know. I have not seen the film.
Really?
But it's not one that I'm interested in seeing. I'm not a huge... oh, God. What's his name? I can't even think of it now. Stanley Kowalski from Streetcar Named Desire.
Dennis Hopper?
No, not Hopper. Marlon Brando. I'm not a Brando fan, especially in his older stuff.
Oh, okay.
When he became older.
Right.
Not a big fan. And this is
I don't know
one
why
that,
I was thinking, you know, I was mixing him up with, for some reason, I was mixing up with, I think Easy Rider is what I was mixing up with.
Possibly.
Yeah. Whew, boy, that was a bad flub on my part.
But this kind of started the revolution.
This had Brando in it?
Yes, Brando is the one who has sex with the young girl in the butt.
With butter.
With butter. Yes, pass the butter.
Huh.
Or give me the butter, something like that. It's not a pleasant scene. Anywho.
That's, wow, okay.
You saw that this is kind of the start of the age of porn. And at that time, again, you had to go to specific porn theaters or certain movies had kind of explicit scenes in them that really did not exist in movies before that.
Yeah.
Coming to the 80s, and people start having their cable. Cable becomes something bigger than, you know, home cable, cable TV at home. It becomes bigger than just
having...
Wait,
hold on. So you're going to skip, like, the porn industry of the 70s?
Not necessarily.
Like, that's when it started to become, like, a viable industry.
With especially with having VHS, the possibility of VHS sales.
Yeah.
Which came late, which came the end of the 70s and into the 80s. But, no, I'm talking about in the 70s, where the porn industry existed, you had to go to theaters to be able to see this. You had to go to porn theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, for the most part, kind of themed theaters, because at that point, you either went to a gay porn theater or you went to a straight porn theater.
Right.
Because you wouldn't be in the different areas if you didn't want to go there. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, I know. That's understandable.
So...
I mean, that's more like it's kind of understandable for the, I didn't mean it's understandable in general. I mean, it's understandable for the era.
Yeah,
like,
for the
you
era.
Know what I mean?
For the era.
It is a form of social segregation.
It is.
But I understand.
Well,
the
same thing
like,
happens
you know,
nowadays, but it's not just multiple locations. It's one location. You just have the ability to choose in a different way. And we'll get to
that. That's a little different.
We'll get
you know?
To that.
Yeah.
But the 80s saw the change in this. With the technology that started coming out in the 80s, VHS players, where you could actually purchase VHS tapes and watch these at your home,
right?
Which shot the industry up, especially in rental places. Now, Blockbuster never carried any X-rated movies.
And people asked for them.
Regularly, actually.
Yep.
But most of your mom-and-pop rental shops, which is one of the ways that some of the mom-and-pop rental shops were able to stay around, they did have a back room that had
extra
movies.
Room with a curtain in front of it.
Yeah, sometimes that beaded curtain thing.
Yeah.
But this gave people the opportunity to watch these movies in the privacy of their own home.
Yes.
And this changed the way that porn was consumed. Before that time, you had the theaters or you had magazines. Playboy.
Right.
Being probably the more cultured of them, and let me make sure that people understand that kind of the three big were Playboy, Penthouse, and Hustler.
Yep.
There were
other ones, but they never.
Playboy was the most cultured, probably of them, the most artistic of them.
Yeah.
And part of that had to do with the way that the pictures were shot for Playboy.
Yeah.
Playboy had a tendency to focus more on the upper half of a woman's body. While they were focusing on the lower half, the one thing that Hugh Hefner at the time wanted to make sure that was never seen in any of the pictures for Playboy was a woman's anus.
Oh.
And he didn't want a full, like, bottom view of the outside of her vagina. You'd do, like, the top view where you'd see a little bit of hair or whatever, the landing strip.
Interesting.
Whatever they did there. But he wanted it to be a little more artful and tasteful.
Yeah, that was always kind of his thing.
Which is why celebrities more often would do a Playboy spread.
Right, and that's what it caught. It caught a lot. It was marketed to be more highbrow.
A little bit more so.
Than your,
whereas Hustler and Penthouse, they shot from every angle.
Because
they
marketed
themselves
as what was called a gentleman's magazine.
Yes, exactly.
They were marketed as that. They weren't marketed as a nudie mag or anything like that. It was something a little bit more.
A little more highbrow.
Yeah.
A little more highbrow.
The joke, I buy it for the articles.
Yeah.
Came from that magazine.
Interestingly enough, they did have some very interesting articles and some of the interviews that they did with celebrities,
which
they did do interviews with various celebrities, not always women, typically men, were actually some really good interviews.
Yeah.
They got some really interesting information
there
out of people
killer
with their
questionnaires
with their,
and some of that
yeah,
stuff.
With their interviews.
Mm-hmm.
But that was more the gentleman's way, but that was your way of consuming porn until the 80s rolled around.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the time we grew up in, the time where suddenly, again, the VCRs are in the house.
Yep.
You had all your VHS tapes, and then there were some VHS tapes that mom and dad kind of had hidden away.
Yep.
That you weren't supposed to know about, but you did.
Oh, definitely.
And they may still have had some of the magazines. They hid those in various places. Some people didn't hide them as well. I knew a family that literally, they lived in a two-story house. They had one bathroom downstairs and literally like 15 nudie mags in one of the downstairs bathroom where you could easily see them and get to them.
Really? Whoa.
Yep.
That's interesting.
Very, very open family as far as talking about sexuality.
Really?
And
not
sex
like
stuff.
Hiding in a cardboard box in the top of the closet or nothing
Dude,
like that?
Sitting in like a trash can that's been used to turn into a magazine holder.
So weird.
Yeah. Just right there next to the toilet. Totally in the open.
Huh.
Totally easy to see.
Weird.
I wasn't complaining about it when I got to be at that house.
Well, I bet you weren't.
Oh, not at all.
You probably, I mean, if there was any, you or any of your other friends probably perused.
I perused.
Perused. I probably would have stolen one and hidden it in between my mattresses, man.
Look up the word. Well, interestingly, I had a water bed at that point, so I really couldn't.
Oh, yeah, you couldn't do that.
I couldn't put that in between the mattresses.
Yeah, I know.
I actually grew up most of my childhood with a water bed. Yeah, scary. Wow. Huh? Freaky. I love them personally, but that's a whole nother story. I've
never been a fan of water beds. They're weird.
Well, it's because you didn't grow up on one, man.
I mean, my parents had one, but I never had one.
No, I had one for like 8-9 years.
Just seemed like a bad idea. I think I had, I think, you know what?
Comfy.
I had a waterbed at one point. I ended up not liking it.
Hey, that's all right, man. I've always found them to be super comfy. But anyway,
yeah.
Point being. So anyway, with it, coming into the 80s, that you had this change in that you didn't need to go get the magazines anymore. You had these videos. Then you started having cable TV come in.
Yeah.
And people had the capability of having Cinemax, which showed kind of softcore stuff.
Right.
Or even paying extra each month and getting the subscription to Playboy.
Those were the friends' houses you wanted to go stay the night at.
Yeah, you wanted to spend the night at their house.
Yeah, yeah.
I can say one of my friends in high school whose house I spent a lot of time at, I won't name him because just in case I don't want to get that out there with him, but his parents had satellite TV and they had like four or five of the porn channels. And so
damn,
every time I went over his house as a teenager, I was skipping between all the different porn channels.
Splurging, huh? Wow.
Oh, yeah. It was nice to be over there. I mean, I didn't do anything except for watch them while I was there.
Right.
Because that's a little awkward in my mind.
Yeah.
But he did not watch them with me because he was doing other things at the time. But, you know, whatever. I don't care. I was getting to watch them.
I mean,
them,
I would,
fun
that
me.
Would, I don't know. Like, that's odd. Like, yeah, I mean, your friends kind of introduce you to that.
Yeah.
To be completely honest.
Well,
normally...
no, my friend, I can say my friends didn't introduce me. I was usually the one that introduced my friends to stuff.
Oh, you were the one introducing
yes,
your friends
I
to
was
the porn.
One
okay.
that was a problem. No, yeah.
Okay.
I got chewed out one year because my cousin asked me where babies came from. He was like 2 years younger than me.
Oh,
so
no.
I was like 13. I didn't see why he didn't know this
already. He was 11 and he didn't know?
He didn't know this already, so I told him. And I told him in as much detail as I was told when I was 5. And, yeah, his parents were not happy about that one.
Well, at least you weren't just like, hey, here, quick, up in the family room. Yeah, there's a channel you got to check out.
Check this magazine. You see that? That's the spot right there. But as we got older, you had those channels on TV. You had the magazines you could still go get. You had the Cinemax showing you the softcore stuff if you stayed up late enough at night.
Yep. Cinemax at like 2 in the morning.
Aren't you ready to go to bed yet? No, I'm not tired, Mom. You're not going to make it up in time to go to school. No, it's okay. I'm just going to watch TV for a little while.
Exactly.
Are you
You're
sure?
Like 14. Yeah. Here's the deal. Like, you think you're slick hanging out like
your
for
mom,
the weekend
and your mom
Saturday night?
Your mom literally goes back into her bedroom, crawls into bed with your dad and says, yeah, he's watching Skinamax. He's jerking it.
No, they knew. They knew. Like, everybody needs to come to terms with that right now. They knew.
They knew, and they should have accepted the fact that this is what teenagers are going to do.
I was never bugged about it.
I was never, again, just the one time that I shared in the story. Funny enough, I told my dad, by the way, remember we had the discussion with Pop-Tarts? And we had the discussion right. about me taking too long in the bathroom, my parents asking me what I was doing in there. I told my dad that after we recorded, I said, hey, this is going to come out on the podcast. I want to let you know ahead of time that I said this in case you hear it or in case there's any question about it. He's like, wait a minute. I do remember having a conversation with you when you were like 14 or 15. And that's after we had moved away from the Bay Area and moved further up north in California.
Right.
He said, I remember having a conversation with you at like 14 or 15 because you were taking forever in the shower. Is this the conversation you're talking about? I'm like, no, Dad. That's not it. He goes, what happened with that conversation? I said, no, that conversation took place. He goes, yeah, we told you had to do the shower quicker because we're living on a property with well water and a septic tank. So you can't take super long showers like that. He said, you weren't doing that then. I said, oh, I was, but not in the shower at that point. I was. He said, you claimed you were falling asleep in the shower. I said, that's actually what I was doing. I was laying down in the shower and going to sleep.
What
it was
hell?
Too early in the damn morning for me to wake up.
Wow.
We had like an hour-long bus ride to go to school at that point, so we had to wake up super early to get dropped off at a bus stop super early.
Ugh. Yeah.
So I'd fall asleep in the shower because I was freaking exhausted. And I was a teenager, so I needed to take a shower every day because I was stinky. Teenagers are stinky.
Yeah, they're stinky.
So it was literally me falling asleep. He's like, oh, okay, I don't remember the other conversation. I said, yeah, that was during such and such time. He goes, okay, yeah, my brain wasn't working right during that time. That's all right. I'm sure it happened. I said, oh, it happened. I can guarantee you that. But anyway, teenagers are doing it all the time. And my parents were good about, they never really said anything, made any comments to me about it.
Right.
Because they knew it was a healthy thing that teenage boys, and by the way, teenage girls should do if they feel the need to, they feel the desire to. You don't have to do it if you don't want to, but if the desire is there, go right ahead. It's safer than doing other things that you could do.
True.
But as we became teenagers, we had this wonderful invention that started being in everybody's home, and that would be the internet.
Yep.
And guess what, sir? I know what the first internet porn site was. Funny story around it, too.
Really?
The first internet porn site was a site called sex.com.
Wow. Yeah,
that
makes sense.
In the early months,
dude, the internet came out. Online websites went up for sale.
Yeah,
and some motherfucker bought that immediately.
He did.
Oh
he
yeah,
did.
He knew.
But he did. But
people were going to look it up.
According to him, he did not initially intend for it to be a pornography site.
What did he intend?
He really did. Has never said what his original intention was. But what ended up happening is somebody else ended up stealing the information from him and using it. And then
hold on. He bought the domain name.
Yes, and then somebody
and it was in his name, and somebody stole the website from him.
Yes, and then made it a porn site, and there was a whole legal battle. Many millions of dollars exchanged in the result.
Whoa!
And it's
still, but that guy made a fucking mint. Yeah, anyway,
he made tons of money, so it's not that big a deal anymore. But I was trying to research.
That's crazy.
I was trying to research for this. How many porn sites there are now?
Oh, there's, it's a stupid amount.
And yeah, I literally could not find any accurate information as to how many porn sites that there are now.
It's there's go-tos, like general go-to staples.
Yeah.
Nowadays.
Yeah.
But remember, this is back when.
This is back
now,
in like early.
Now
years.
It's way far beyond it doesn't matter now. Like it doesn't
years,
matter.
You really
like,
have to. You really had to look for. You really had to look for legitimate sites that weren't going to be putting all kinds of viruses and crap onto your computer.
Definitely. There's those. And, dude, you would, like, porn, the evolution of porn access in the home has been insane. Like, the most sophisticated probably was, and what I'm saying legitimately sophisticated was probably, like, VHS tape and DVD.
Yeah.
But when it came down to, like, I don't know, like pay-per-view cable, like that kind of
pay-per-view
stuff.
Pay-per-view cable was
like
not
Playboy
was
TV
not bad
was
to
pretty
have.
Was pretty up
Playboy
there.
Playboy TV was up there, and then you're right. Eventually, when DVD technology started taking over things, DVDs were available left and right. In fact, funny enough, once internet technology started taking over, you were able to get DVDs for almost nothing.
Yeah,
magazines were throwing DVDs in when you buy a magazine, like at the newsstand or whatever. Or gas station or at your local what's the word I want to use for lack of a better word, your local porn shop where
or
you can buy different supplies,
liquor stores sell porn,
they'd have a DVD they'd have a DVD in the magazine because DVDs were so cheap to be able to get information, and besides
they're
for
very very cheap production. Exactly. And there was that too, but what I was getting at is that before porn was all over the internet, it was If you weren't paying for it,
you weren't getting it. No, you weren't getting it in any way.
The closest thing you could get to porn was maybe about 6 seconds flipping in between channels at like 1 a.m. And watching a scrambled image where you think you saw a tit. That's the farthest you got.
Or the few movies that were shown on regular stuff, and you'd get some boob shot. Because boob shot would be allowed. You get a moment of boob shot.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Like the most you would have to do is look up.
That had some boob
shot. Did you know? I mean, to say did you know this is dumb because it's obvious. There are entire websites dedicated to finding nudity in film.
Mr. Skin.
Yes. That's the big one, I think. Yeah,
Mr.
The main one.
Mr. Skin is one of the biggest ones to find the moments of nudity. When is so
the amount
been
of
nude?
Dude? This guy's got to be making a stupid amount of money to do
the
that.
The guy
too.
Who set up that
because theoretically
the guy who set
speaking,
it up,
like what's funny about it is theoretically speaking, even though it's copyrighted imagery,
yeah,
because it wasn't intended at that, it's technically transformative, yeah, and therefore it is fair use.
Yeah,
you can make money off of it.
And well, and the thing is, it's you know, I remember there's paused movie moments. Times at Ridgemont High.
Pause movie moments, screenshots, shit like that.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
That was like what people did back in the day. See, here's the thing. Like back when the internet first started or for like the first 10 years the internet was around, there wasn't enough data to actually do a movie file. Movie files always looked like shit. They were always like, and they took forever. It used to take 30 seconds to download a single image.
No, I remember when it took even longer to download a single image.
You know, 14K modem.
Yeah, taking forever for anything to download.
Yeah, absolutely. But there were people that would like, but then people would take your friends and their friends would take and collect and compile and burn onto a disk and.
Like, I didn't have those.
They would
cool
always
friends.
Have those. Those you didn't have
I
friends.
Didn't have
that
those
would,
cool
seriously?
Friends. Yeah.
Man, there were guys I knew that had like archive porn discs, and they'd make copies. Nah. They'd give them to you.
I didn't
like,
know
like there
those
was
guys.
Yeah there was those would happen. Those would happen like that would happen like or they would do that like people would be trading porn on IRC chat like all this stuff.
Yeah.
But then that's when okay so there's this weird thing this is I feel like I'm bringing this up.
Okay.
Which is odd.
You got this weird thing.
Yeah.
Let's take a break.
Okay.
Come back with this weird thing.
Okay, because it's going to get dark and strange.
That's okay. We can get a little bit dark and strange because just because we have the access
to this
now. I'm
not going
to
like be completely explicit here, but it gets weird.
Just because we have the access to it now doesn't necessarily always mean it's a good thing or it's a bad thing. You take what you can get. All right. We're going to take a break right now.
All
right. We'll be back in a minute. Mike will explore some of the darker side of
oh, Lord.
The new porn.
That's all right.
All right.
Hey friends, this is Mike from the Xenial Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thexenialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now, back to the show.
And we are back, everybody.
What's going on?
So Mike was going to take us down one of the dark rabbit holes of the early years of internet porn.
Well, yes. Okay. So back in the day, it was all right. I'm going to try to navigate this as properly as I can. I will not be explicit into any subject matter.
Okay.
But there were multiple ways that you could get porn. Like, definitely, it's pretty similar to now. The only difference is like there's like. Some fucked up stuff you can find, especially if you are willing to go to like 4chan and shit for some really messed up stuff.
Yeah.
I am not trying to recommend that to anybody.
No.
And I don't recommend that kind of stuff to anyone.
I mean,
but
let me say,
it used
let me say
to
this.
Be
let me
like
say this.
Way less. What
people may
that's some dark web stuff.
Well, people may have their
like
some
the
fetishes.
Dark web started very early.
People may have some fetishes, and some of them are safe fetishes to be able to share with people. And it's good to find people you can safely share some of your fetish ideas with.
Yeah,
but understand that some of them may just be better to remain in the realm of idea and fantasy as opposed to coming into the realm of reality.
I would say that'd
be the best.
Because
in the realm of reality, they may not be appropriate or they may be harmful to other individuals. And the biggest key is, especially when you're trying to have sexual relations with other people, you don't want to harm the other person.
No.
You want to make sure that that's an enjoyable experience for everybody involved.
Absolutely.
Remember,
not.
Sex is like Chinese food. It's not over till you both get your cookies.
Cute.
Remember I said that.
I like that. No, that's a very, very solid and wonderful rule to stand by.
I like that one too.
Yeah.
Plus I like Chinese food.
Also yeah. Sex. Oh, Chinese food's amazing.
But anyway, go on.
Yeah.
The darkness.
No, the dark part that I'm talking about, the part that freaks me out about it is that back in the day, most of the time there were friends of mine that I had. Again, I was a little bit into the IRC chat kind of stuff.
And
not
you,
like
you were a little
the
more,
porn. I didn't really look for
tech,
the porn there.
You were more tech involved than I was, too.
Right. So IRC chat was very, very proto messenger, okay?
Okay.
And not just one-on-one. It's entire chat rooms. You know what a chat room is.
Yeah,
there are chat rooms all over YouTube now.
I did do
chat
some,
rooms are everywhere.
I did do a few chat rooms when I was in my younger years.
But back in the day, a straight-up text looks like a docs prompt, chat room, people, whatever. Like, in you... you know, as far as being able to navigate those, that was one thing. But I mean, I will tell you this: I had friends that shared some really weird stuff.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
And I was not into those things.
Animal stuff, huh? Always animal stuff,
dude.
So much.
Why do you
stuff.
Have to bring? You know, not you, but that's where I would. Yeah, I would be like, why do you have to bring?
Yeah.
That into it,
stuff
like
that's
just
disgusting.
No, dude. Anyway. Like the words. Could you just leave it to like just?
But to point,
I'm cool with like the magazine because at least that's somewhat regulated. Yeah. Like not. That what the hell's wrong with
well, and that was know, the, that was the problem
friend
the,
person
that was the problem in the early years of the internet with pornography,
and that's essentially
very little,
I was getting at.
There was very little regulation in how it was being shared,
right?
And how you accessed it, you had to worry about what kind of when you would go to a site or when you download anything,
yeah,
what could be coming with it, what could be connected to it,
right? There wasn't necessarily much when it had to do with establishment, and especially more so if you weren't paying for it,
yeah,
that was some dangerous shit.
It was.
But then mm-hmm.
you see a bit of a revolution as the internet gets bigger and more accessible. And especially once people start being able to access the internet from their handheld devices, their phones. I mean, keep in mind, people, there was a time
not too long ago.
Porn
on the internet was way established by the time the iPhone came out.
It was, but there was still more of a shift.
Yeah.
In this sense that once you had these mobile devices that you could access the internet from anywhere and everywhere at any point in time,
yeah.
you found a couple of companies really kind of trying to solidify the market for online porn. And to this day, you have a few sites that are kind of the go-to sites for most people.
What's crazy is most of those sites are on the same network. They're the same people distributing to multiple sites at the same time. It's all regulated. There's advertisements, there's money, there's memberships, there's all this stuff.
And you can get free content or you can get the upgraded membership content.
Right.
And what's nice about it is even with the free content, you're able to watch videos or see pictures.
Right.
Or whichever thing that you're, whatever is your specific thing to have at the in the palm of your hand.
Yep.
Unless your hand is busy. And the fact that they're
Two hands.
That they are high quality videos and pictures. They are not all virused, so you're not worried about damaging
your computer. Down. Oh yeah. Oh, we should have gone over that.
What?
Okay. So the first stage of this. Yeah. Let's backtrail back for a little bit. What we're talking about and the reason why that's so important is that it obviously was not like that. The first bit of it used to be, you know, IRC chat rooms, sharing with people you don't know.
This is in the early days of the
trying to get your hands on X film or whatever, or you know, movie file, or at one point, you know, when pictures wasn't doing it anymore.
Because, there gets a point, and literally, we can talk about the progress of how porn is, at least.
Right.
In my experience as a male growing up, teenager to adult, and I'm sure Mike can echo this experience, there comes a point where seeing that boob flash is enough.
Right. Right.
Then there comes another point where if you got a hold of maybe an anime that had a little bit of something in it, that's enough.
Yeah.
Then when the internet came around and you got the pictures, or before the internet when you were able to get the magazines, then pictures in the magazines were enough. All you had to do was see that picture, and that was more than enough.
Well, that was okay. So it also depends on the cultural status of the of whoever the picture or whatever it is.
I will say that
a still image of Marilyn Monroe is super hot. Personally, the original I'm going way back to the classic tier.
Never was a fan of Marilyn Monroe.
But
I did. I will admit, when it came to Playboy, I paid attention to who, which major stars did Playboy
definitely
spreads. And there's a few that even to this day, I wouldn't mind owning those specific issues of Playboy.
You should head down to the cave. They started dealing Playboys.
It wouldn't, like the original
magazines. We found a stack of them over there last time we went.
When we're able to.
Well, when they open back up.
When they open up and we're able to leave our homes appropriately and do shopping that's not necessity shopping.
Yeah.
But I remember when, for instance, I've professed my love and admiration for Debbie Gibson before. She did a spread in Playboy.
That was way later, too.
Yes, it was way
later. It was like 20 years later.
It was, and I didn't care. I was just happy to see it.
No, that definitely, dude. Tiffany did it.
Tiffany from
Tiffany did it, too?
Tiffany, yeah.
They were like the two hot redheads of the 80s. Wait, was Debbie Gibson blonde?
Blonde. Debbie was
blonde. She was blonde, yeah. Sorry, but I always mix the two up, and Tiffany was the redhead,
Tiffany
right?
did it. Yeah. Tiffany Amber Thiessen did it as well.
Oh, nice.
Let's see, Elizabeth Berkley did, but you saw enough of her in that stupid,
I was
going
to say, Liz Berkley was, yeah, she was already like, yeah,
you saw more than
enough
of her in Striptease.
It's really crazy because the most sought-after ones were the ones that like would refuse to do nudity.
Yeah. Yeah, right? For sure. Because
like,
it increases
anybody,
your desire
like,
to want to see
like,
it.
There would be no draw for any, there would be practically no draw for anybody that was in the cast of Game of Thrones at this point. If there were still magazines where that was done, it's been seen
no,
for the most part. Unless
actually,
it's been a long
no,
time.
No, there's two people in the Game of Thrones. You've not seen all of Game of Thrones, I'm assuming.
No.
There's two cast members that people would pay a lot of money to see them naked. Because you never see them naked in the in Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm talking like if you saw like I'll name one. Let's say Emilia Clarke.
Yeah.
I've seen
naked pics of her.
But that's
and I've seen her naked in the show.
Yeah. And so that's like, I mean, whatever. Now, personally, when it comes down to stuff like this, I've always thought that Maxim was actually kind of cool about that because
Maxim
there
magazine?
Was Maxim magazine because they still had shoots. They had photo shoots that were professional, but they were still hot and they weren't any straight up nudity.
No,
yet.
They covered up all the
yeah,
they
covered
bits.
Up all the things, but like it was still artistically done. It was still hot. It was still done. I would consider done more artfully than,
and again,
I wouldn't say they were more artful than Playboy because Playboy had like they had
some pretty good artful stuff going.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah, but you're not going to see Tiffany Amber Thiessen in Penthouse, right?
Typically, no.
Not
no,
unless like pictures that were from her early career that were stolen and then sold to Hustler, like they did with. Didn't they do that with Vanessa Williams? Wasn't that the big thing with
yes,
her?
Yes, that's what happened with Vanessa
they, like,
Williams.
She
and
was
she
a
got...
modeling shoot that was the pictures were sold without her consent or knowledge, and then it came out on the magazine,
and she got
and she
stripped
lost
of her
the
crown.
She lost the Miss America crown. It was crazy.
But no, that was one of the nice things about Playboy. But anyway, as teenagers, sometimes the pictures were enough. Sometimes you'd want to get the glimpses of movies. But even when the internet came, sometimes at first the pictures weren't enough because you got way more opportunity for pictures.
Yeah.
With way more diversity of pictures.
Yeah.
But like he says, there comes a point where the pictures aren't enough anymore. You need the movies.
You need the movies. And then the movies, it moved so slow because I remember, well, it moved fast, but the progression was slow. Like technically, like you had the pictures and then the pictures used to, they would load hella slow, and they were like limited colors and all this crazy stuff. Yeah. You could see all the dots and the pixels and all the weird shit.
Yeah.
And then it moved on to the movies, but the movies were all low res, and they were like 10 seconds, and they were traded over, like, they were either on, like, Newgrounds, or they were file sharing.
Yeah.
So you would get them through, like, LimeWire or Napster or Kazaa.
How many times did LimeWire ruin your computer?
Or if
back
you
in the
knew
day?
That, oh yeah, dude, like don't like even today, don't just avoid Pirate Bay completely. Yeah. That is a terrible idea.
Yeah,
like for anything, it sucks too because like, especially with the fact that you're like one of the things that I have that I like to fart around with is like gaming. I'm not trying to bring it to gaming, but gaming and ROMs since Nintendo. A year or two ago, they started sending cease and desists and like trying to sue websites that featured ROMs openly on the internet. There's no way to get them now. Wow. You can't get ROMs on the internet anymore because they did the Nintendo Classic and all that. But such is also the same case for the most part with any porn you're trying to find that is not already on the market.
Yeah.
Well, excuse me. I take that back about, you know, let's say 10, 12 years.
Yeah.
But it's been now, like, it's completely different. It's
well, and now
you
the-
log into Pornhub and you literally can just browse all of the movies that are there.
And
they're like 20 minutes long and shit.
And
like,
that's
insane.
That's kind of the that's
it's
kind
a full
of,
feature. It's used as an advertisement.
And that's kind of the thing is this has become. This is part of this revolution in technology that we've seen in our life, where it used to be we would have to figure out ways to sneak this, and there was a stigma about renting porn movies back in the 80s and buying porn magazines. There was a stigma involved in it, and now it's so prevalent that literally everybody has porn at their fingertips at any point in time that they want to have it.
Yeah, at that point it doesn't even matter. There are adult shops that still sell porn.
Oh yeah,
especially and there's some people that are still into like the classic stuff.
Yeah,
You know what I mean? Like, there's
they still
like,
want DVDs and VHS.
There's this culture around old porn, like there is around old film.
There is.
There really is. But the that's.
But even
it
in
was,
this,
you know, even,
this even day
that,
and age,
that thing, that stigma you're talking about, like I actually like way back in the day, like have you ever actually purchased a? Have you ever actually gone into a store and purchased?
Yes,
you have.
Oh yes,
I did too. I did it like twice, and I felt really weird both times.
Were you with somebody?
No, I was by myself.
Ah, okay.
Like I didn't go with someone.
It was a different experience with me because I was with somebody.
Oh, okay.
And with somebody that
I was single, and I was weird and embarrassed.
I was with somebody that could be identified by the way that me and them were interacting with each other, that was somebody that I was being intimate with at the time.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't as weird necessarily a thing. They were kind
that,
of
okay,
as,
so yeah, going into a shop like that, that is...
I've spent
going
I
into
have,
a shop with
have
a significant
spent a lot of
other
time,
feels extremely different.
I have spent a lot of time in adult shops, just so you know.
Going into an adult shop, shopping for that significant other, also like you carry a different air about you
when
you
even
walk
if you're,
in.
Even if you're,
so that's
even if
a
you're
whole
by
different deal.
Doing
yeah.
it, even if you're by yourself doing it, if you're going to shop for your significant other,
yeah.
it's a whole different scenario.
By the way, just to say something about this, the amount of incredible discreet courtesy that you receive in an adult shop.
Oh, it's fantastic.
As a couple or not.
It's fantastic.
That is some of the, like, adult shops are, as a guy who's worked customer service for 20 years straight.
Yeah.
Adult shops are the best customer service I've ever worked with.
Yeah, because they, I mean.
Period.
They're there to try to help you.
They know that that is a personal thing.
Yes.
And they know that they have, like, you guys, like, they understand that, like you have their absolute full respect when you walk in, which is like that's like super cool to know.
It's good and it's comforting.
The whole thing, yeah.
Because and this is kind of what I'm one of the things that I was finding interesting about this is I thought about this again. We've seen this technological revolution. We've gone from this thing that we could barely access when we were born.
Yeah.
This thing was barely accessible by the masses
for sure.
And by the time we reached adulthood, suddenly we had this capability for getting as much content almost as we wanted to. And now, like I say, it's at our fingertips. We have the ability to get any type of content that we want to within moments from our phones. And we've talked again about how the phones have changed so much in our lifestyle. This is the other thing that it brings to us, this access to a deep part of humanity, which is the part that represents our sexuality. We have so many, especially in this culture, here in America, we have so many things that we define as the norms for sexuality. And I'm not just talking about heterosexuality and homosexuality and those stuff. I'm talking about just the various things that we are taught that are things we're supposed to be attracted to and we're supposed to find attractive and the things that aren't acceptable to find attractive. For instance, I'm going to admit something here on this. I'm probably going to get in trouble for this with the wife when I get home, but it's okay. This is one of the things that people would classify under a fetish.
Okay.
But this is a personal one of mine.
Okay.
I will admit I have a thing for feet.
Oh, okay.
And not in the way of doing anything necessarily sexually with them. I just find women's feet attractive.
Okay.
Specific women's feet. There are some that I've seen that are not attractive.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's understandable to have a preference
but
within
I have,
that
I
format.
I find women's feet to be attractive. And it's one of those things that you can find, you can very easily find, not even pornography, but just pictures of women's feet. There's a website that's dedicated specifically to celebrity feet. So if you are attracted to a specific celebrity, you can get a picture of their feet and see what their feet look like.
Okay.
And then there are actually porn websites where feet are involved in sexual acts.
Did you know that, speaking of, it is very, I didn't know about this until more recently.
Yeah.
It is very... understandable and well known in the creator community for YouTube.
Yeah,
that if YouTube is shown to, if there is a, YouTube has an algorithm that searches for feet.
Yeah,
like not a person, but if feet are prominently featured in a YouTube video, it will become immediately demonetized. Because of the interpretation that it could be used in a pornographic fashion.
That doesn't surprise me because it's actually a very popular fetish.
It is.
And it's interesting because I've had questions asked to me about the fetish before when I've admitted it to some people. I will say this. It has to do with just feet only, not shoes. In fact, I abhor most shoe fetish type things. When it comes to my foot situation, because many people who have a fetish with feet that like feet, mm-hmm. that are attracted to feet, a lot of the fetish parts of it have to do with shoes that women are wearing. And
oh, interesting.
Like being in high heels or being in, you know, whatever.
Okay, I didn't know that was a thing.
For me, actually,
I mean, like, I could see. Look, man, rule 34 at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
But the shoe thing is not a thing with me. But there are many things like that where that's not surprising to me because foot fetish is actually a really major one. Quentin Tarantino has a foot fetish.
I did not know that.
It appears in almost all of his films at some point or another.
He puts feet in his film on purpose?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Or women barefoot in his films on purpose.
Huh.
Because it's part of his fetish.
I did not know that.
Did
they know about that when he films them? Or does he yes. just, like, I mean, like, hey, pretty, I'm kind of into this, and I think your feet are beautiful. We're going to feature
it. It's probably pretty, it wouldn't surprise me if they're aware of it. I mean, it's something
that's
known.
He probably pays them for it as well. Just like, yeah. He's like, hey, look, this is going to be featured, but I'm going to, you know... I'm going to take care of you on this and make sure that if you're okay with it, like, are you cool with that?
Joss
like,
Whedon is known to have a bit of a foot fetish as well.
Interesting.
And he has a lot of his, he has actresses that are barefoot fairly often.
Hmm.
It's just one of those things that's, you know, again, one of those things that's a very, very common fetish amongst men. And interestingly, it's almost always men for women's feet. Mm-hmm. Very rarely is it women for men's feet. But I personally have a theory on that. Think about this now.
Dude, feet are fucking ugly.
Well, the biggest... Think about it. We talked about the biggest porn magazines that were around during the last century.
Right.
Playboy,
mm-hmm.
Hustler,
okay.
Penthouse.
Right.
Those are the three biggest ones.
Okay.
Those are magazines detailing naked women, typically.
Right.
Sometimes men involved, but for the most part, naked women.
Yeah.
For, you think, marketed for men.
Right.
But are they entirely marketed for men? I'm of the personal
I know
belief,
many women that would
be interested
pick up
in.
Either any one of those.
I'm of the firm belief that the reason that those magazines reached the heights that they did within the porn industry and mm-hmm. why I personally think there are many that argue that the reason behind it is because men are the bigger consumers of porn. And I see that point.
Yeah.
And even with porn videos nowadays, it seems to be more centered on the various women within the porn. And again, I see the point of men are more the consumers. But I also personally believe that the main reason for that is the woman's body is so much better to look at for anybody.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
Woman's body, work of art. Men, just like their feet, they're ugly. We are all ugly. There's a few pretty men, but not really. Not really very many. Well, it's better to focus on the female body. But that's, again...
Yeah, I mean, I can understand that.
The idea that we have this at our fingertips in the way that we do, and it gives us the ability to delve into some of these fetishes, some of these desires that we have, and hopefully find ways to experience them and work through them that don't require inappropriate and deviant behavior with other people. Well, maybe deviant is okay to an extent, as long as both parties are consenting. But inappropriate behavior with other
yeah.
people, putting people in different ways, putting people in different situations that they are not comfortable in.
That is okay. That is a big one.
Yeah.
Like
oh, definitely.
I am. That is if there is, like everybody has their preferences.
Yeah.
But if there is anything that I am absolutely completely against, it is. Any situation where I am understanding that there is a lack of consent,
yeah,
like a true lack of consent.
Well, and
like
actually,
you could,
actually,
it could be the, it could honestly, it could be like the freakiest stuff on the planet, as long as all parties are consenting.
And so
that's
there,
fine.
There are some videos,
and
that,
there are videos that have they no, film the consent before or after,
and after
or what
yeah,
have you.
Before and after they'll show,
make sure,
they'll show
hey,
the
you
consent,
cool?
They'll show that everybody's good. The video may look like a person is getting brutalized sexually by another person,
right?
But then you see the before and after of it, and it's part of the it's basically an act that they're putting on that it's being brutalized. It's something they've actually agreed to be a part of,
exactly,
and are possibly even getting pleasure out of. I
yeah.
I mean, you never, you honestly don't know what each different person derive some pleasure from.
That's,
you know?
Yeah, they should. And if they're not, there's a problem. Well, there is a problem. People not enjoying. Look. Period.
If there's no consent involved,
I feel uncomfortable being. Yeah, I feel uncomfortable being witness to something that would even remotely look like it is non-consensual in any way.
Which I understand.
I feel really weird about that stuff. But if it is known to be like, again, like I said, you could.
You know that you're watching people that are consented.
Yeah, if you know that you're watching people that have consented, and
well,
that's
this is
part
of the
act.
And it's also part of the act to try to help maybe somebody who has some of these more, if you were to actually act out some of these fantasies, they would be a negative fantasy to act out. But the ability to be able to watch something like that and get some of that fantasy out of your head by watching consenting people do it.
Yeah.
And who knows, you may even be able to find a partner where you two are able to work out some role play
right.
that is able to deal with some of those fetish issues in a safe and welcoming environment where both people can still be consenting of the situation.
Yes.
And both people can still find the things that they want in it.
Yes.
You know, porn is actually a really good way, good thing to, in many ways, deal sometimes with the, I don't want to say it that way. If you find the right porn, it gives you a better insight into, for instance, like the BDSM community than the stupid, idiotic, and hurtful Fifty Shades of Grey movie.
Those
movies and those
terrible.
Books have no true understanding of the BDSM community and what really happens within that.
No, and it got a huge backlash when it came out too. The books,
it should
the
have.
Films, like
it should have.
The
it,
films
I mean,
were done just because they were, just
the
because
books,
the books were
the books
popular.
Sold so much, and the thing is, they are so not a representation, appropriate representation of
no.
the way the BDSM community works. It is all about being able to trust the other person and be open and connected to the other person that you're involved with.
The biggest problem that I have with that, with the idea of that, first off, on top of the fact that it is wholly unrealistic and blatantly stupid in many instances.
And is also just, I don't know if you know, but the 50 Shades of Grey started out as
Twilight
fan
fiction.
Yep. There we go. You did know, sir. I'm proud of you.
I did.
Which
Once
makes it
I saw,
even
which
worse.
Makes more sense.
But it makes it even worse, though.
Yeah.
Because you
take
horribly written set of books.
Yeah, she got a cease and desist request.
And then
from
changed
the
names.
Twilight, like, yeah, she's like, okay, well, I'll just do this and it'll be fine. And then it turned into a hit anyway, which I'm so pissed at.
Yeah.
It's so dumb. Like, who are.
Well,
who?
That in the, man? The section sheet. Have you ever read the books?
I have seen enough excerpts.
Okay, no, I've read the books.
Oh, God.
I've read the books.
Why did you read all of them? You read all of them?
No, I read the first one. Okay, let's be
all
clear.
All the way?
I read the first one all the way through because I wanted to see what
the
hype was.
I read
the
synopsis and it was ridiculous.
I wanted to see what the hype was. First of all, she is an asinine writer. Second of all.
Oh, yeah, she's a terrible writer.
All,
she writes Twilight fan fiction.
I just want to let people know, whoever's listening to this, if you read that book and you thought that any of the sex scenes that she described were risque in any way, shape, or form, come live for a day in my brain. Because I guarantee you, everything that she has in there is so mundane in comparison to the stuff that my imagination
comes up with.
Here's the
problem that I have with it, though. Here's the problem that I have, is that it's actually, it's not about it being mundane, because the sex acts are extremely.
No, they are
like,
so mundane
on.
Sex acts.
Yeah, they're
but
extremely
it's more,
mundane.
It's more
but
of the fact that if this dude was poor, if the main dude was poor, this would be some girl that got kidnapped and locked in a trailer.
That's
and,
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This is Stockholm Syndrome
totally,
the book.
Completely and utterly.
That's the problem. She shows
so
up to his back room,
so
has no idea what's going on. He shows up with a contract?
Twilight,
are you out of your mind?
Twilight is basically Stockholm Syndrome as well, but
that's
a whole other story. Maybe we'll maybe we'll do a deconstructing Twilight episode at some point.
Oh, God, your wife's going to kill you.
Yes, she probably will, but you know what? It's okay. I'm an immortal vampire anyway, so I'll come back. But
no,
no
dude,
like,
that's
like I was
the
saying.
Biggest problem that I have is with the fact that it paints that culture in a horrendously negative light in all of the worst ways.
And then
first
it makes
off,
this,
it G-rates it practically.
Yes,
it
very
Disney-fies
much so.
The hell out of that
even,
culture.
Even though it shows, some, even
but
though the
then
movie shows some
that,
nudity and some
sells,
sex,
but it also sells this. It also sells it. The problem is it Disney-fies the sex itself,
yeah.
And then it sells abuse as a sexual fetish.
Yes.
That is not what that is.
No, that's not how BDSM works. It's really not about abuse. It's actually about being able to find control of your own sexuality and your own sexual enjoyment. It's about controlling it.
Exactly.
For instance, in a true BDSM relationship, you have a dominant and a sub, right?
Right.
A dominant sub. Who's in control?
The dom.
No.
The sub?
We have to give you an education.
Here's the deal. I think I understand where you come in. And okay. I'm sorry that I was thinking of the acts themselves, which technically work. You're correct.
Even because the
sub is the one who is in control of the consent.
Yes.
That makes perfect sense to me. I thought about it on a surface level for a second. I apologize.
No worries.
No, that makes perfect sense because if the sub is not, safe word, if the sub is not cool with it, the sub stops the game.
Well, no, everything that's happening.
Yeah.
Everything that's happening is typically for the sub's benefit sexually, not the dom's benefit.
Yeah, that's why there's paid dominatrixes.
Exactly.
They're providing a service like a psychiatrist.
You don't hear about paid subs, you hear about paid doms.
Exactly.
Because what the dom does is the dom helps the sub live out their sexual fantasy.
Could you imagine a paid sub? I'm sorry, I believe that would be a prostitute, depending upon the culture.
Technically speaking, actually wouldn't even be a prostitute because what subs...
That was to say, I didn't mean it. No. Let me slightly backtrack on that. The culture of street hooking in general is that's very unregulated. And
well, no, it is. And
there
let me add. I honestly think that a paid sub wouldn't be a paid sub. A sub that's not in control is not a sub.
Yeah,
it's a sex slave.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like
it's
that's
a sex
when
slave.
That's when consent goes out the door. A paid sub would be the but reason no, why I say the reason why I say that is because there is obviously a human trafficking culture that happens, and that's where I was kind of going with that. I was going with a paid sub as human trafficking.
Different podcast.
Yeah, completely.
But no, that's the thing, and you're right. Those movies take the culture and they turn it on its head in the sense that the dom is the one in control, and that is not the way the culture works. The dom is there to service the needs of the sub. The sub is there.
I apologize
there
for my lack
to,
of epiphany no, until, it's okay. until I explain myself.
And that's another one we can have another podcast where we talk a little bit more in depth with it.
What I'm trying
to reference here with this podcast
is
the fact that having this porn more accessible to us, the ability to express ourselves sexually in a way that's so much more personal, so much more accessible.
Right.
We can take it with us wherever we want to go. We have privacy level with it that is unheard of from before.
Right.
We have the ability with that, hopefully, to be more understanding of our own personal sexuality, make it easier to communicate with our sexual partners, what our sexuality is, what our limits are, where we find our enjoyment, where we find our attraction
for sure.
to things. And this has given us an ability to be so much healthier sexual beings
than what we've
been able to be in the past. I mean, again, there's been that stigma for the long time that porn is for men. Porn is something that's not good. Porn is something that you should feel ashamed about getting.
Yeah.
And you've had only limited ways to get it. Now, having this access to it, this gives us the ability to be better sexual beings than what our parents were and what our grandparents were.
Yeah, because the culture of sexual repression for as long as it has been become dangerous.
It has become
oppressive.
Yeah.
And as much as many of these people that are into the culture of sexual repression, regardless of what type of background they may be, religious or political or otherwise, they're misinterpreting the point.
Yeah.
The point is that this establishes both a capability of psychological balance for those that are into it.
Yeah.
Into just sexual or porn culture in general. But it also establishes a level of control for those actors or actresses, more likely, that are involved in it, because they have control over their
sexuality.
They have control not only of their sexuality, but they have control over their image. They have control over their confidence. their professionalism. They have control over that. This culture is much more beneficial, I think, to the betterment of society.
Very much so. I agree.
It gets credit for.
I agree completely. And that's why, you know, it's something to look at as this has been, as much as all these other great things have happened within the last, you know, almost 40 years of the Xennial lifespan, mm-hmm. this is one of those things that should be up there with it. The availability of porn, people think of it as such a dirty thing, but honestly, having that available in the way that it is, not just to our generation, but to the generations that come past us, beyond us, younger mm-hmm. than us, this gives them the ability to have representations of their sexual feelings accessible to them and hopefully demystify something that should still be an important I'm not saying this right. Let me get back to what I'm really trying to say. Okay. It is an important part of our lives.
Yeah.
It is an important part of being human, and we should have the ability to talk about it, express it. I mean, just the fact that we grew up in the time frame where all this stigma existed, and so you were a little bit apprehensive about talking about this. When we first came up with it. I grew up in a household that was a lot more open about sexual discussion than I'm sure yours was growing
yes.
up. And so
I was very intimidated by the culture of your household, parents.
Oh, God, yeah.
I was initially.
Honestly, was it my parents? Was it both of my parents?
It was your entire family.
Really?
Yes.
It wasn't my mom? Because she was kind of the instigator of all that discussion.
Yeah, and all of her offspring, including you.
Okay, you got that right. We learned from it. Okay, I'll give you that one. No, and that's the thing is I grew up in a very, very open household when it came to talking about sex and sexuality. It was never something that was not available as a topic for discussion. And I'll admit my wife was even quite astonished when she became part of the family and how open my parents were about it. Hell, my mom basically kind of set it up so that her and I could have sex for the first time. So,
oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
That's
thanks,
cool.
Mom.
Yeah.
Thanks.
That's sweet.
You got my brain working towards the idea of starting to masturbate, and you got me laid. So awesome. Mom,
you're
awesome.
You know
awesome.
What? That just meant that she was a cornerstone of support.
Yes. Very much so. Very much so. Thanks, Mom. I'm glad you got me laid. I'm still married to her, so it was well worth it.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the thing is I was
really
lucky.
Weird because I didn't have any of that. I grew up in a very I was essentially a real sheltered kid, as you could probably already obviously tell. But there was definitely a lot of repression in the household in general. Nobody ever talked about it. It was just this. It wasn't a subject. It was not a subject.
And that's the thing
it was weird. Whenever I felt very strange whenever the subject came up.
Oh yeah, and I'm glad I got to have that kind of upbringing, and it's why I firmly believe this is something that needs to be talked about. This is something I'll admit I went through a prude phase in my life where I was anti-pornography, anti all that stuff. Most of that was me dealing with my own manhood and feeling whether I was enough of a man for things or not. It was my own personal issues, but I've you know, people grow, people learn, and I've gotten to the point where it makes more sense to me. This having porn available for people, destigmatizing it, and the beauty of us being able to hold it right there in the palm of our hand, this is some of the greatest things that we have going for us. And again, I'm all for it. People, while if you're still shut indoors when you're listening to this and you got your significant other with you, find some porn to watch together. Find out what each of you likes watching porn. Realize that it's going to be difficult for each other to sometimes let each other know what things you do and don't like, because you're having to give so much of yourself that you don't always give to anybody. You kind of keep locked up in secret. But try to be accepting. Try to be understanding. Try to know that just because they like, you know, girl-on-girl porn, just because your wife likes girl-on-girl porn, that's not a bad thing, bro. That's actually a good thing. But I'm just saying, be understanding that people have some of the thoughts they have. They can't always control them. The more that you can talk with people about this, have people to share it with, the better your mental health will be. I firmly believe the better your relationship will be. And if you're lucky and do it right, the better your sex will be. And honestly, isn't that what we want?
That's what we all want, man.
Exactly.
Who would say no to better sex?
Thank you all for listening to us talking about pornography. Hopefully we've inspired you. I wanted to give a couple of porn stars as people to look out for, but
oh,
you know what? We'll not worry about that. Go find your own fun. Okay.
I like that.
I think
I like that.
Mike, where can people listen to us?
You can listen to us at thezenialchronicles.com or zenchron.com, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N. We are also on all the podcast places. Tune in and Google
Spotify.
And Apple and Spotify. And we are also on YouTube. Go subscribe to our channel.
Please,
if you're
do.
Listening to this on YouTube, I'd be surprised. But like, comment, and subscribe.
Is it going to block us on YouTube?
I don't know. I think it might, because we're putting in the title, yeah.
I mean,
they may know. It won't block us, but it'll demonetize it if there's anything, which
we're not even making money anyway.
We're not making any money doing it. You think we make money?
Not really. Not doing this. I mean, I find it amusing to listen to us sometimes, although to be honest, it's been a while since I've listened to the entirety of one of our podcasts.
You're the one who cuts it off 5 minutes in.
I do get a little bit tired of listening to the fat guy talk. He's annoying. Besides, I hear that voice in my head all the time.
Oh yeah, that must
and
be
I
terrible.
Always, he's the only person I lose arguments with on a regular basis, and I don't like it.
You should see a doctor.
I have. Not that kind though. Screw that. Yeah. I don't want them to get me my own personal jacket. I don't need that crap.
My own personal jacket. Yes.
Anyway, thank you all for listening. And I'm not sure what we'll be back with when we come back next time, but we will be back sometime next week.
Thank you guys so much. Have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.